Earth, sky.
First of all, it is the only ice in that part of the world. And we believe that ice is the best recorder we have on Earth to reconstruct the history of climate and the environment.
You're listening to glaciologist Lonnie Thompson, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. In summer 2010, Thompson led an expedition to Puncak Jaya, the highest peak in Indonesia. He went there to collect ice cores, cylinders of ice drilled out of nearby glaciers. These ice cores contain hundreds of years of climate history. Thompson described his trip as a race against time. He said that Puncak Jaya's ice fields might melt completely within the next 5 years. Dr. Thompson spoke with Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl.
So we're interested in Puncak Jaya, Indonesia. Why is this place the focus of research for climate scientists? What's special there?
Well, what makes this particular set of very small glaciers near Puncak Jaya is the fact that it's the only ice mass in that part of the world. It's an ice mass that's very rapidly disappearing, and there has never been an ice core recovered from that part of the world. So in many ways, we saw our expedition as a salvage mission to get in and get these records while they still existed.
How long has this ice been near this peak? And can you just reiterate what's happening to it now?
There are certainly moraines there that suggest there's been ice in that part of the world, at least since the last glaciation, the last ice age. But we were able to observe the loss of ice. This is the first glacier we have ever drilled where it rained every day on the ice. And when you think about losing a glacier, the best way to remove ice is to bring warm rain onto the surface of the ice mass. So we had one case where we had a tent that sat there for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, when we took the tent down, it was on a plateau of ice that was 30 centimeters above the surrounding surface of the glacier, meaning that we had lost 30 centimeters from the surface down over that two-week period. So if you multiply that out for the year, it would mean that we're losing over 7 meters of ice a year from the surface down. You do the calculation, you're talking about potentially losing these ice fields within 5 years.
Can you tell me more about your work drilling cores into the ice? What is that ice telling us?
Well, when we recover these ice cores, we measure a number of different parameters. We measure isotopes, which give us a proxy for temperatures of the past. We look for annual layers so we can tell what the accumulation has been from 1 year to the next. We also measure the chemistry in the ice to look at the long-term history of atmospheric composition. We look for things like volcanic eruptions. And, of course, Indonesia is the most volcanically active place on Earth. So we're hoping to find traces of the Krakatau eruption, the Tambora eruption, preserved in these cores. We will also be looking for the thermonuclear bomb tests. All the bomb tests that we have done in the atmosphere have left the radioactive layer in all the glaciers of the world. And by going into a place where, even if you've never been there before, if you can measure the radioactivity and you can find these events, we know exactly where and when these tests took place, so they become a time marker in the ice itself. And so one of the big challenges is developing a chronology, a timeline for the cores from which you can put the climate history into a perspective.
What sort of timeline are we talking about?
We expect we will get maybe 400 or 500 years of time, of climate history in that part of the world. And you have to remember, this is on in Papua, Indonesia, which is on the island of New Guinea. So we know very little about the long-term climate history in that part of the world. And so it's a very important history to reconstruct if we can. In order to understand climate change today, we have to know what the natural variability of these systems that have been operating for hundreds of years, how they have operated before humans started to influence the system. So that's kind of determining the baseline.
So the better you can figure out global climate patterns and establish a baseline for what might have been happening hundreds of years ago, the better you can understand how climate change is affecting those patterns today. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. You have to know what the history has been of any of these phenomena to know whether what you're seeing in today's world is unusual.
How will the melting ice on Puncajaya or near Puncajaya affect the lives of people in the area in the long term and the short term? What's happening there?
Well, I think if you were to look at just the ice in Indonesia and what happens to the ice on Papua, the big impact is really in the local people. There are probably four different tribes that live in this area that claim these ice fields. And in their religion, the ice is the skull of their god, and the mountains are the arms and legs of the god, and they feel that they are part of nature. And if something happens to any of these, they lose part of their soul.
Is the loss of glaciers visible to them?
Yes, it is. All you have to do is to watch. Anyone who lives near a glacier has actually been able to observe the changes taking place. And so the people can see that they are retreating. And the question in their mind is, what's driving that retreat?
Okay, now what about this melting glacier in terms of, you know, in terms of water availability, things like that? Will it affect local people in that way too?
Yeah, it will have some effect, but you have to remember this is in a tropical rainforest where it rains every day, so there's plenty of water. In fact, at the base of the mountain on which this glacier sets, they get 14 meters of water every year in rainfall. I mean, it's a huge amount of water. So it's a very wet part of the world. So the loss of the glaciers won't have a major impact on water supplies in that part of the world. But the thing that is very important to the people of Indonesia is the fact that they live on an island nation of over 17,000 islands. Most of the people on those islands live right at sea level. And of course, the loss of glaciers around the world are contributing to sea level rise. And in fact, there are projections for Indonesia that by 2030, they may lose up to 2,000 of the islands. And the question, of course, is where do these people go?
What's the most important thing you'd like to tell Earth Sky's global audience about the melting ice near Puncajaya?
Just that these glaciers are probably our best sentinels of climate change. They kind of sum up the whole climate process: temperatures, precipitation, radiation, cloud cover, and they respond. And these glaciers are going to disappear.
What are your preliminary findings? What is this ice telling you so far?
That there is a history here. And we have done the overview of our temperature proxy, the isotopes, on two of the cores, and the reproducibility between the two cores is fantastic. And the first thing, if you're going to develop a history from any archive, you have to show that history is reproducible from one site to another on the glacier. And we certainly have that here. We are currently measuring tritium. They look for the thermonuclear bomb horizons. We measure tritium in the ice in order to determine that. And that'll give us a timeline at the top. And we just cut out a piece of organic material right near the bottom of one of the cores this morning where we can get carbon-14 dates so that we can get a true indication of how long is the history recorded in these glaciers.
You've been listening to Lonnie Thompson in the School of Earth Sciences at The Ohio State University. He's also the head of an ice core paleoclimatology group at the Byrd Polar Research Center in Ohio. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Byrd. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.